receive one. And also, if you did not bring a copy of the November 11th minutes, minutes that were postponed, that's the pink paper over here. That's the whole packet. Yeah, absolutely. We have a big, big agenda. Let us begin. Rambunctious. We have a big agenda. Let us begin. So, may I have a motion to approve the agenda? Discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, unanimous. Announcements, approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes of December 6th, 2012.
Move.
Okay, discussion, corrections? Yes. Please, at the microphone and tell us your name. Thank you.
Hi. Igor Kuskovsky from Physics. I just need a clarification. When we voted postpone some of the classes last time, and those which were not postponed but were basically designed for kind of pathways, are they automatically approved for pathways or not? Because it's not clear from the minutes. For instance, specifically in physics is astronomy 3, is a 2-lecture with 1 lab, 3 credits. Basically, it's a pathway type of course which is approved, but we postponed the pathway course, so it's not clear from the minutes what was the approval. So I'd like to have a clarification on that.
Ken?
I have two recollections from that meeting. One, the culling of the courses from those minutes of the ones that dealt with pathways was done in great haste. Two, my debate on the matter was cut off by a move to call the question. So I'm not surprised if there are pathways related courses that were approved at that meeting, that were not postponed, that did appear on the Senate minutes and have gone in to the board. I tried, but I was silenced.
Okay, so in fact, if it passed, it passed, yes. And only Part A and then Part B, items 7, 8, 12, and 15, which I'm hearing in my sleep, were postponed. Okay, any other questions, corrections, comments? All in favor? Opposed? Okay, unanimous. Okay, some quick announcements. Faculty and Student Election Committee met, and the dates for nominations are Monday, February 25th, that's 2-5, through Monday, March 4. That is the nomination period. If you wish to nominate someone or self-nominate, you go to the Elections Committee website, which you can get to directly or through the Academic Senate website. Elections themselves will be held from Monday, April 7th through April 12th. So it's 5 days. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. The record date is March 4th. And that is the close of nominations. After that, there are no more.
No changes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just a correction. It's a Sunday through Thursday. There should be 5 days. Yeah, okay. Okay. So where do we get those dates from? Usually the Elections Committee meets and then it appears in the Senate as a Senate agenda item in December, but because they did not meet until after that, when the Senate Executive Committee met last week, we voted on that, and that was a compromise. There were folks in the room who wanted 3 days, folks who wanted to keep it at 7, and the committee decided on 5. Okay, now I'm going to ask Arnold Franklin from the History Department, who has a memorial.
Arnold Franklin from History. I'd like to read the following obituary for Tzvi Yavetz. Distinguished Professor Emeritus of History, Tzvi Yavetz, died in Israel January 8, 2013, at age 87. Professor Yavetz joined the Queen's faculty as a visiting professor in 1968 after having worked with then Queen's College President Joseph Murphy in founding the University Faculty in the Humanities at the University of Addis Ababa. He became a full professor in 1978 in an arrangement with the University of Tel Aviv, of which he was a co-founder, whereby he taught one semester at Queen's College and one semester in Israel. Numerous visiting appointments also took him to Princeton, Cornell, Oxford, the University of Florence, and the University of Munich, and he held a prestigious fellowship at the Institute for Advanced Studies at Princeton. Scores of his books and articles, whether written in English, German, French, Italian, or Hebrew, continue to be influential in the field of Roman history. In recognition of his prodigious scholarship, Professor Yavetz was awarded the Israel Prize for History in 1990. Professor Yavetz's history colleagues will remember him for his geniality and generosity, his gifts as a conversationalist, and the wonderful stories he told of a lifetime that took him from escaping the Holocaust and fighting for Israeli independence to the highest levels of academia.
Thank you. I ask everyone to stand, please. And let's have a moment of remembrance. Thank you. Okay, our first guest speaker this afternoon is our Provost, Dr. James R. Steller, and Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs.
Thank you, Bobby. I asked if I could address the Senate for about a minute on the issue of pathways, because there are some things that I think that I know that you need to know. The first thing that I want to say is that as I travel the councils of this university, including Wednesday, Provost Council in Manhattan, it is very clear that pathways is happening. Some 2,000 courses have been submitted by CUNY colleges. Many have been approved. And it is no longer really a topic for our agenda. We're on to the next thing as a Council of Provosts. We just assume that this is going to happen. So it's very important that we know that here, if you believe me. But that's, I think, the first thing I'd like to say. Second thing I'd like to say is that you should all know that following the last Senate meeting, our president did not submit, with one or two exceptions, Math 110, English 110, the courses that were placed on hold. So those courses are not part, currently, of our offerings that will be the offerings in the fall. We do have some 47 courses that are approved, and we had hoped for about 100. So I'm hoping that we can think about that when the motion comes up later to consider the minutes of November 8th, which had been postponed, and consider accepting those UCC minutes. So I just wanted to clarify those two things and urge you to think about the students entering in the fall and letting them have the full benefit of the curriculum that we would like. Thank you.
Thank you. Professor Kelly, now a faculty athletic representative.
All right, I wanted to speak to you briefly this year, as I did last year, about my role as faculty athletics representative, and I will try to be brief. So it's actually a role, I serve as a liaison between athletics and academics, and it's actually a role that the NCAA requires of every university that has NCAA athletics teams. So just one of the things I do, along with the compliance officer in the athletics department, is to check eligibility. All student athletes need to be academically eligible in order to compete. In order for them to be academically eligible, they need to have a minimum GPA of 2.0. They need to be enrolled full-time every semester. They need to pass a minimum number of credits every semester. And they actually, maybe partly because of this, they actually have a higher GPA and higher graduation rates than the general QC population. But one thing that we monitor very closely is student athlete progress. And it makes it very hard for us to do that without your help and the help of professors. So one of the things that you will be receiving from me or professors who have athletes in their classes are missed class forms. Now, we call them that because they are forms basically that show when the athletes have competitions. Now, in the forms, and I'll show you an example of the form, it actually says a specific time of departure and the specific date and time of return. So if the class doesn't fall within that period, then the student is expected to be in class. Now, this has nothing to do with practice. The student athletes are very careful, and we make sure they're very careful to schedule their classes so that they don't conflict with practice. So I encourage professors to allow student athletes to make up for missed work, but ultimately the decision lies with the professor. I do what I can in working. I sometimes can proctor exams if need be, or other professors get other professors to proctor exams, but ultimately the decision does lie with the faculty member. And note that these are, you know, a lot of people, and I have gotten feedback from some professors talking about their views of athletics teams, and most of those are based on Division I teams. We're actually not a Division I school, we're a Division II school, and so we don't have huge audiences like you might expect. In fact, I encourage everyone to attend one of the games and to see how hard these student athletes actually work. That being said, we're the only CUNY that's a Division II school. The rest are actually Division III schools. Okay. So students are aware that they are in an academic institution. They have to put studies before athletics, of course, and of course they have to be academically eligible even to compete. So they cannot compete unless they are academically eligible. That being said, I think it's good to encourage people to be on sports teams. I always believe a healthy mind and a healthy body, and it's something we should encourage. It fosters a lot. Our student athletes tend to be quite, have very good attributes, leadership skills, discipline, and so on. They're actually excellent. So we have some events. For example, last year we had Faculty Appreciation Day. We're hoping to have this again this year, possibly on March 2nd. And this usually takes place during halftime, during the basketball games. And there's several events that go on that I encourage faculty members to look out for. There's, for example, the President's Breakfast of Champions, which is coming up in April, where we honor the student athletes with higher GPAs. So just to let you know, some of the key athletics department staff, the athletics director is Ms. China Jude, Merlin Thompson, Jennifer Robbins, Leanna Taylor, and Jamie Brown are actually right here in the audience and can answer questions that I can't that I may not be able to answer if you have any. The full list can be found there. The schedule for the athletic schedule is actually also online. So if you actually look on the General Queens College website, you'll see in the top it says athletics where I've circled, and that'll take you to this page. And if you click on athletics, you can actually see all the information you need about the teams, about the athletics staff, and the athletics competition schedules. And I'm happy to answer any questions now, or please feel free to email me if you have any questions about our student athletes. Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Professor Kelly. Other announcements?
Hey everybody, my name's Enrico. I'm one of the project coordinators at NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group, and I'm here to announce our Higher Education Action Day on March 12th. As you all know, we've been faced with targeted cuts by the state legislature to affordable higher education, and so we really do need to make sure that higher education is a universal right and all students should be entitled to an affordable higher education. So we are coalitioning with the PSC and providing transportation to go up to Albany March 12th, where students will be able to directly talk to their elected officials and let them know that they consider higher education a right. This is a great experience for students. They'll learn how politics works from the inside, and they'll have a chance to really take control of their education. So you've probably heard about this. One of our representatives maybe came to one of your classes, or maybe will come to one of your classes, but you'll also be getting letters in the mail, so watch out for that. And I encourage you to be receptive if your student expresses interest in this event, because it is extremely important. Thank you.
Thank you. Other announcements? Okay. We have a special motion to adopt a new matrix, and Dean Savage is going to speak on that.
Dean Savage, college-wide at large. I'm the chair of the Matrix Committee, which is a subcommittee of Inez Kelly's Campus Affairs Committee, and we had a number of faculty members and staff and students on the committee, and we've been working pretty hard to come up with a new matrix. Recall that the president's request was that the matrix enlarge the break between classes from 10 minutes to 15 minutes in order to accommodate our incorporation of Queens Hall classrooms. And we did that, and when we did that, we ran into a couple of problems. One of them was that we were running into a shorter free hour. The free hour got shortened from 95 minutes to 75 minutes. A second problem was that by having an afternoon class sequence that started later in the afternoon on Tuesday and Thursday, we were encountering a space crunch in the late afternoon when the 3:30 to 4:45 75-minute slot conflicted with the 4:30 start of the education seminars. And then, at the last moment, thanks in large part to an initiative taken by Ed Smaldone, who couldn't live with the idea of a shorter free hour. Is that me? Okay. Who couldn't live with the idea of a shorter free hour, so Ed started going and trying to figure out ways around it, and he came up with what turned out to be a miracle solution. By starting 15 minutes earlier, we would be able to end all classes by 12 noon, and then by starting all of the afternoon classes at 1:40, Monday through Thursday, we would be able to go ahead and finish by 4:25, and then the education division departments, all three of them, agreed to move the start time for their afternoon seminars from 4:30 to 4:35. The result is that not only do we have a free hour, which is 100 minutes long, up from 95, that's good for student engagement and department meetings, we also have eliminated the afternoon space crunch on Tuesday and Thursday because we finished the 75-minute sections just before the education seminars begin, meaning we're going to have the benefit of an additional Tuesday, Thursday afternoon scheduling slot, that is to say 3:10 to 4:25, and so we'll have more scheduling. So here's the bottom line. We have 20 additional classrooms as a result of adding Queens Hall. We have figured out a way to go ahead and have a new matrix that allows us to preserve the long free hour and also keep the mid-afternoon scheduling slots. So I am like to, with the original matrix that you were submitted is the one we submitted to the exec, and then Ed Smaldoon started his late charge, and he is not someone who is to be denied. I keep worrying that they're going to start referring to us at Queens College at the Aaron Copland School of Music one of these days. So in any case, we now, I would like, with the I'd have the approval of my matrix committee, I would like to propose the adoption of the alternate matrix. There are copies up at the front of the room, and everybody should have one, and the accompanying rationale is there as well. So my motion is to approve the alternate matrix, the revised draft dated 2/7/2013, and that is my motion.
Actually, your motion needs to say that you recommend it to the president.
I recommend it to the president. Okay. I recommend the version of 2/7/13 to the president.
Okay. Okay. Discussion, debate. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to know first on information, what are we actually doing here? Is it, if we do not adopt this matrix, does that have any import? Are we a deciding body for this?
This is an advisory committee. That's why it said I asked Dean to say recommend to the president, because this is a subcommittee of the Campus Affairs and Graduation Advisory Committee.
Right, but
so what happens if
we say no? What happens?
Use the old matrix.
Has the moral suasion of the Senate.
If we say no, that's binding to say
then the every president woman on this campus
not.
Is going to have to stop wearing heels to make it in time for class.
Okay. As in, well, I filled out my teaching schedule request for this fall in my department through this schedule. So
Dean?
It seems to me that we are being overridden somehow in anticipation of this, because I did not fill out my class schedule given the existing matrix in effect before this meeting.
Please, Dean.
The existing matrix tracks to the new matrix one for one. And so all you're doing is going from a, let's say, 3:20 to 4, you're going from 3:30 to, it's 3 o'clock to 4:20, 3:05 to 4:20, you're simply changing to 3:10 to 4:25. It's that kind of change every single time, all the way up and down the line, Ken. And so everybody's going to have to make an adjustment of perhaps 15 minutes at the maximum. That really is all that's involved here.
I teach at 10:15 on Mondays and Wednesdays. With the lecture schedule we have, I will now teach at 9:15. Not that I matter getting up an hour earlier, but if I have it in my schedule to drop my children off at daycare to get here at 10:15, I beg to differ. This is a change to what we're used to.
What is the start time and end time of the class that you normally teach?
10:15 to 11:05.
Okay, that is a one-hour class that, if we look for the one-hour class, the 50-minute classes, and we go ahead and look for three meetings at 50 minutes. You have 10:05 to 10:55, or you have 11:10 to 12 o'clock. Those are the two options.
Okay. The other point I'd like to bring up.
Does that respond to your concern?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
The idea of a free hour to me has always meant in my 30 years here that there are no classes scheduled, so that students can go to concerts, students can go to job fairs, and the notion of an optional free hour is, if you remember it at all, is the same to me as a smoking section on an airplane.
Sure.
it is either a free hour or not. So if you say this is optional, you have the possibility that a student will be registered for a class at that afternoon time that's been so greatly
captured. It certainly will happen.
Yet, department or career development or the music department could schedule something that's very important to the student, and it's not free. So I would like to move to remove any references to this optional recommended free hour on Thursdays,
so,
because it's not really that.
That's an amendment. We need a second on that. The amendment is open for debate.
I accept it as a friendly amendment. I don't think we should bog down the process voting on this manner of things. Basically, we gave up on the third free hour. What happened is that the students very much wanted a third free hour. The president would like to have had a third free hour. The science department said we can't give up the lab time. The humanities people said we need the afternoon seminars. The social sciences said we need the afternoon three-hour seminars. So this was the language of political compromise. Optional slash recommended, do whatever the hell you want. That's the message I'm trying to convey, and obviously it's not a free hour. So if you feel more comfortable, and I explained this to you in an email, Ken, but if you want to go ahead and excise it as optional slash recommended, I have no objection to that. It's not a free hour. It's not going to be a free hour. CUNY Central has a tracking system where they go ahead and measure the efficiency with which we use laboratory space. Preventing the sciences from using their laboratory space in the afternoons is going to go ahead and kill us on that metric. And so there are all kinds of reasons not to have a free hour. So I accept your proposal as a friendly amendment. I hope that is sufficient.
Okay.
The friendly amendment to a committee report is acceptable.
It's not actually a committee report. It's his own motion.
I'll repeat that if you couldn't hear. It's not.
I heard it.
It's his own motion. He's a senator in this Senate.
He's reporting from a subcommittee. It's a committee report. But,
it's more of an amalgamation.
I don't care. I don't want to bog down the process either. I just would like the language about optional free hour to be removed.
Technically, am I correct? At a subcommittee, if it were technically 100% a subcommittee, its members would only be members of the committee. And since there are other people on that...
It's not technically. So it's his own motion.
So there are other people on that committee, it's his own motion. And he accepted your friendly amendment. So since he's the creator of the motion, he could do that. Further debate?
I have some concerns about Queens Hall and having classrooms at Queens Hall and the idea that it's not really difficult for a student to go from a class at, say, Kiley Hall to Queens Hall in 15 minutes, particularly a special needs student or a special needs faculty member, as I was with my cane a few years ago. And I'd have a hell of a time going that 4/10 or 5/10 of a mile in 15 minutes. It would be damn near impossible. I don't think we should have classrooms over in Queens Hall for that reason. I don't see how they could be reached in a reasonable way by many students or faculty members in 15 minutes coming from a typical building on the main campus. I don't see why we have to have classrooms over there. It's just too far away. And the idea of, again, being able to get there in 15 minutes from a building on campus, particularly for a special needs student, and we have many of those, is ridiculous. I think that should be addressed. I don't think it should be swept under the rug. I think it's very, very important. It hasn't really come up because I think the first term that we're having classes over there is this term. I don't know if we did last term, but I think it's going to become a major issue for a lot of students and faculty members.
Thank you.
Michael Newman, LCD. We have our offices and classes over there. And this issue is a serious one, and it has already come up, but it's already, and it's, there are some solutions in place. Perhaps they're not ideal. The main solution, there have been requests by special needs students, and any special needs students who have an issue with this are able to make a request, and it will be honored, and that is that the class will be moved to a location that's more central on the campus. In terms of the faculty, that issue has not arisen yet, but it may arise. It certainly will arise, and I suppose the solution would be the same. So there's enough flexibility built in that is not an immediate, it's not a fatal flaw. I think that we really need to think about more long-term solutions, perhaps kind of a shuttle system. But of course, those have economic implications that go beyond what we can offer now. But in terms of not having classes over there, is I think it's too far, way too far.
Thank you. Further discussion? Then let's vote on the motion. All in favor of the new matrix as proposed? Raise your voting card. Okay. Opposed? Abstentions? And okay. Motion passed. Thank you. Committee reports. Undergraduate Curriculum Committee.
First, I'd like to move the pink pages, the postponed portion from the last Senate meeting of the November 8th UCC minutes. And I would like to say that we will withdraw items 7 and 8 from these minutes. The department has asked me to withdraw these proposals.
This is the pink sheets. These were the minutes that were originally postponed.
The pink minutes, yes, and they're on page 6 and 7 because they're from part B. There are two parts. Actually, page 6. Yes, I know. This is part B, number 7 and 8, which appear on page 6 of the pink minutes. Proposal number 12-396, proposal number 12-427.
Discussion?
With those items withdrawn, I move unanimous consent.
Okay. I'm sorry. Objection? Okay, done. Oh, I'm sorry, wait a minute. Were you about to speak to this? I didn't see you, I apologize.
Yeah.
Was looking in the wrong direction. Please, go ahead, Senator Grover.
Stephen Grover, philosophy. One question that I have is what the status of item 15 is, English 110. The provost, in his resistance is futile remarks a little earlier, mentioned that English 110 and Math 110 had both already been, the president had already done an end run around academic governance in order to get those into the pathway system already. But what I don't understand is what was given to them. Was it English 110 as it was, and indeed still is, or is it, did he send English 110 as it will be if we make this change? I'd like that question answered.
what, may I? After the Senate approves any of these minutes, they go on to something called the Chancellor's University Report, which is taken up at the Board of Trustees meeting. What was put forward by the President was exactly the change that you see on page 7 of the pink minutes, and it was put through the Chancellor's report by the President without Senate approval. It's one of those couple things the Provost mentioned he did do.
That's
the end of the sentence, I think. But what it was put through as a change to English 110 that he put through, told me to put it on the Chancellor's report for the January board meeting.
I just wish to add that English 110 was in our original implementation plan in March of 2012. Was it 2011? 2012. And so what we're talking about here is a slight language change.
All of this is unresponsive to the question. The point that I wish the Senate to understand
Please.
Is that the President did breach proper academic governance. The fact that he only did it with two courses seems to me completely an uninteresting point. If he's going to do it, then he might as well do it with all of them. I don't see what the principle is that he's standing on, where he'll just do it for some and not for others. And the second point is that what he seems to have put through is something which, so to speak, anticipates a change from this body. And if we don't make that change, then I don't honestly see that the English 110 that he's put through will be a course that we can run here, because it won't exist in our bulletin. And that, I think, is another way of seeing just how improper the procedure has been. Well, I'm not going to labour any of this anymore. I think there's a huge amount of really shoddy work done by the UCC in all of these things. I think it's ridiculous that introduction to the Bible is going to satisfy creative expression and so on. But no one's going through this stuff with any care. And that, of course, was the point of trying to put an end to it the last time, that it's being done in such a shoddy, amateurish and arbitrary way that we simply should not collaborate. So, you know, resistance is futile. I told my faculty that resistance is futile. I'm going to stop in 1 minute. I'm just going to read the best response I had. I had many responses from that. If resistance is futile, there seems little point to it. But collaboration seems worse. Resistance, at least, makes disapproval clear. Morality in an immoral world may be a losing game, but it is the only one worth playing.
Thank you. There is a motion on the floor and a request for unanimous consent. Okay. Can we have a vote, please? All in favor of the motion, raise your clicker. Ken, would you repeat the motion, please?
Yes, the motion is to approve the UCC minutes, the postponed portion, that are the pink pages, minus proposals 7 and 8 in Part B, which are on page 6.
Okay, all in favor, please raise your clickers. Opposed? Abstentions? The motion does not carry. 21-17-4. can.
I would like to move the minutes of the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee on December 6th, 2012, and I would like to point out that items in Section B, items 7 through 14, are withdrawn.
Are withdrawn.
This begins on page 5. Item 7, which is number 12-507, and runs through item 14 on the bottom of page 7, proposal 12-533.
Okay, this is open to debate.
Move unanimous consent.
Okay. Discussion? Okay. All in favor, please raise your clickers. Oh, I'm sorry. I look too casually. Absolutely. Discussion, please.
Actually, I'm going to talk about the items that were removed, the items 7 through 15. And the reason they were removed, if you look at them, they were all languages. And I can speak more for languages. I'm not going to speak to sciences. I don't really have a background in that area. But I think the people in the language departments have seen that this Pathways Initiative, even though it's futile to fight it, was not something that is going to benefit students for years. And I'll attest to that because I was part of this going way back to the 60s. These introduction language courses have always been 4-4. There's a need for a component of lab. This is the way you learn. So this is the kind of thing that has to happen. The language departments have withdrawn it for a very, very specific reason, because the Pathways proposal certainly in those areas will not work. And as I said, I'm not going to comment about the sciences, and I'm not going to comment about some of the other courses, which basically stay the same, like in the accounting department, 3-3. It has no impact. But I am glad that the language departments have decided to say that we will not pass these courses. They have been withdrawn.
Thank you, Manny. Bill?
I'm Bill McClure, Acting Dean of Arts and Humanities. Again, I can't speak to the sciences, but with respect to the languages, what's happened is that the Pathways Oracles from 80th Street have said that it's no longer necessary, that in the college option, so the 12 credits the students take here, the classes have to be 3 credits. They can be four credits and other sorts of things. So what's happening is the language is being withdrawn because it's going to turn out that they can be accepted as is into Pathways. So that's the reason for the withdrawing. They don't have to change the credits.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. If you'd like to comment, please step up to the mic.
I was marveling at how wonderful this outcome is.
I mean, we didn't have anything to do with this, really, but this is how the rules have changed. So we're able to submit the language classes as 4-credit classes to Pathways, is what's going to happen.
Further debate?
I have a question, actually. I was reading this on page 13. B is a new course, and the way that the course is described, it looks like there may have been a copy-paste error because there are some repetition in the description, and I'm not sure that this is what the history department intended to put forth. Genocide in Modern History. If you read through it, you'll notice that several phrases are repeated. Uh-huh. And I'm not sure exactly what it intended to say.
Is anyone here from history who would care to speak to the typos?
I think it's correct, although it uses mass murder an awful lot of times, but that seems to be the topic of the course. But I think it is what they intended.
Well, it says
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay. Well, we'll fix that. I think we can do an editorial adjustment to this.
Okay.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Yes, it's an editorial. Okay. Other guests?
Stephen Grover, philosophy. I would be in favor of dividing the, as we did last month, and simply separating out the pathways-related material to vote on that separately. It's just that we didn't do a very good job of doing that last month, as we saw already, and doing it on the fly. But if there were an easy way of doing that, then at least of presumably separating out sections A and B on the front, and all of the sort of box stuff, and the curriculum changes related to pathways, but leaving the other changes. I just don't know how to do that. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. A motion to divide is in order. Does somebody want to word this? Further debate?
Couldn't we just split it between A and B? I don't know. Pass B. Yes, so I would suggest we just split it and pass B, or vote on B first, the curriculum changes that begin on page 8 through the end.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that? That was
move to divide between A, which is the first section, I take it. There should be a big bold A at the beginning of the whole thing, but there isn't. Then the big bold B that comes on page 8, to divide it there, and vote first on the curriculum changes that follow the big bold B on page 8, which includes all the changes to the majors for Jewish studies and history and so on, which we shouldn't delay.
Comments on the motion to divide?
Did you want to move? Megan Healy, Drama, Theater, Dance. My only objection to dividing it that way is that numbers 5 and 6, we do actually want to change the designation of two drama courses from non-regular liberal arts to regular liberal arts. And I realize that the committee put the justification as course must be regular liberal arts to satisfy pathways, but we gave them multiple justifications for doing this. We only discovered that they were not designated as regular liberal arts courses because of pathways, but we still want to make this change irrespective of any decisions about pathways. So, and these courses, we just somehow, there was a misunderstanding about them and we want them to be designated. So I don't really want them to be cut out of the agenda as part of things that are not being approved for pathways.
Other discussion?
I support Senator Grover's amendment. You'll remember that at our last meeting on December 6th, we passed a resolution, and the resolution, we passed it by a vote of 36-0 with 5 abstentions. The motion was to substitute the UFS University Faculty Senate proposal for the motion to censure the voice of the Board of Trustees. So it was a substitution of the UFS proposal. And what the UFS proposal, University Faculty Senate proposal, said, which we supported, it said,
Be it resolved that the Queens College Academic Senate endorses the University Faculty Senate resolution calling for a review of and moratorium on pathways, etc. The point is, if we voted 36-0 with 5 abstentions to have a moratorium on pathways, why are we even considering pathways issues at this meeting? So of course I have to support the amendment of Senator Grover to separate the UCC minutes into pathways material and non-pathways material, because I think we shouldn't even consider the pathways material. After all, we voted for a moratorium on pathways issues. We did.
On the motion to divide, further debate.
Kevin Ferguson, Department of English. I don't know if this is debate or not, but I'm just curious about some of the things that are in Section B are pathways related. I mean, I only know about English 110, which, for instance, there's a change in categorization, but if we don't also approve the change in English 110, are we going to find ourselves in a sticky situation later? And I'm thinking about the issue with the drama classes as well, so just that we don't separate, but can they be separated like that? You probably know the answer.
Just to help you move this along a bit. If you divide the question, that does not end the debate. There will then be two documents. And if you want to approve part of one document and not approve another part, you can. And then you can approve the rest of the other part that's divided. So arguing where to divide it is one thing to do. But if you divide it, you'll still have the opportunity to debate what you've divided.
Further debate? Okay. All in favor of the motion to divide? Opposed? Abstentions? The motion did not pass. The count was yes 20, no 4, and 10 abstentions. So we're back on debate for the whole item in the curriculum committee. These are the minutes of the 6th, the green page. Further discussion? Okay, the motion then is to adopt the full report. All in favor, raise your clickers. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion does not carry. Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated January 23rd, 2013.
Before we proceed, I would like a clarification on this moratorium. Should GIAC be considering, should GIAC be functioning?
You're not prohibited.
The General Education Advisory Committee that vets all of these pathways proposals, should they be doing anything at this point? Should the UCC be doing anything about pathways? Because it seems to me you're going to just toss all of this in the garbage. I don't see why we should spend all the time doing this.
That's
I would like a ruling right now. Should GIAC continue working? Should the UCC continue working? Or should we just stop until the Senate decides we can go ahead and throw the baby out with the bathwater and whatever other department's proposals, they're just now not passed?
My parliamentarian tells me that you are not prohibited from continuing, that it is up to the committees themselves. May I just say, I believe that although we supported the UFS, we did not in ourselves declare a moratorium. It's not a legal motion, so there was no moratorium.
Thank you.
Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes, meeting minutes. Go ahead.
I move that the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated January 23rd, 2013, that's found in yellow in your report, be adopted.
All in favor? Discussion? Objections? Discussion?
Move unanimous consent.
Any objection?
Thank
you. Okay, that's passed. Nominating Committee report dated February 7, 2013. Is the chair of the nominating committee not here? Okay.
I move the report of the nominating committee that's in your packet. I seek unanimous consent for the floor.
Objections? Discussion? Okay, so move. New business, nominating committee, arts and humanities seat to be elected. Are there any nominations for a seat on the nominating committee for a person who is a student who is a member of Arts and Humanities Division? Okay, there's also a need for a student on the nominating committee from the Education Division. Do we have any nominations? Okay, I would seek a motion to adjourn at this point. Thank you.